Well, good morning and welcome to worship from Murfreesboro Baptist Church. It is good to see all of you here, and as always, it is a blessing to have those of you who are with us online and on the radio. And personally, I'm grateful that you are able to be here today. Just a few announcements. Don't forget the pancake and sausage breakfast is this coming Saturday from 8 to 10 in the morning. If you still need tickets, those are available from the church office or from our deacons. Also, on behalf of our children, I want to say thank you to everyone who was involved in making Vacation Bible School a success, especially to Sarah and all the hard work that she did. And lastly, I do hope that you will stay after worship and have lunch with us and enjoy that time together. But now let us stand and worship our God as we sing, "Oh, how He loves you and me." Will you join me in reading responsively our call to worship, taken from Psalm 121? I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will our help come? The Lord will not let our feet be moved. The Lord is our keeper. The Lord will keep us from all evil. The Lord will keep our going out and our coming in. Let us pray together. God of grace and mercy, who created us in your image and according to your likeness, who breathed the breath of life into our bodies, and who has redeemed us through the work of Jesus Christ, we gather this morning with the singular goal of worship. As your holy presence moves within us and among us, we pray that our words and actions may bring you the glory you deserve. And as we continue to worship, may the words that Jesus prayed be our words as well. For he taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Good job, everybody. Let us now stand together and sing hymn number 319, "Praise to the Lord, the Almighty."
Thank you. not be able to take everything with him. He couldn't take all his grain to heaven. So he would have to leave the world with nothing. God has promised to supply all our needs, but he has not promised to fulfill every selfish wish that we have. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Let us say a prayer. Dear Father, let us be content with the blessings which you so generously give us, and help us to be on guard against selfishness and greed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our first reading for this morning is from the book of Joshua, in the first chapter, verses 6 through 9. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The word of God for us, the people of God. As we turn now to our time of prayer together, we continue to lift up T.W. Hill, Larry Futrell, and Randy Copeland. We also pray this morning for Brandy Harris, Freddie's granddaughter, who is having surgery Wednesday, and for Modest Revel, who is home from the hospital but is on hospice care. So we pray for both of those. And we also pray for the family of Brinson Paul, who passed away earlier this week. His service will be here at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Are there any others to add to these? If not, let us pray silently and then together as one. God of grace and God of mercy, as we gather together in these moments to lift up these brothers and sisters in prayer, we pray that the words you spoke to Joshua may continue to echo in our ears as well. May we be strong and courageous. May the men and women we have prayed for be strong and courageous. May that strength and courage come from you, O God. May you cover them with grace. May you fill them with your peace. Where there is healing, may you bring that healing and wholeness quickly. And Lord, where there is grief, may that grief be softened by the love that comes only from you. Lord, we lift these brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both now and always. Amen. I invite you now to stand together and sing our hymn of thanksgiving, number 49, As the Deer.
Thank you.
Let us now, as an act of glad and sincere worship, offer up freely and cheerfully a portion of the gifts we've received to the glory of God and to the service of His kingdom.
Thank you.
Let us pray. May you bless these gifts, O God, and may you bless those who have given them. Together, Lord, may the gifts and the givers unite to do the good work of your kingdom, to meet the real needs of our community, and to proclaim the unfailing love of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, in whose name we offer this and all of our prayers. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning and for sharing your gift with us. And I don't think I've ever sounded better singing the doxology than I did today. Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The word of God for us, the people of God. Well, there is no way for us to sidestep the difficulty of this day. And even if we could somehow pretend that the difficulty of this day did not exist, I still don't think that that would be the right thing to do. It would be disingenuous, and it would not do either of us any favors. Instead, we should recognize that this day is what it is. It is a day for goodbye, but it is also a day for gratitude. It is a day for us to be thankful that God caused our paths to cross, even if only for a few short years. But even amidst the difficulty and the gratitude and the thankfulness that loom large today, the point of our being gathered together in this place is not so that you might tickle my ears with kind words, and neither are we here in this place so that I can heap praise upon you as a church. Those things can be for later. But the purpose of this hour is worship. We are here together in this sanctuary so that we can give our praise to the God of the universe, the God who created us, the God who redeemed us through his Son, and the God who knit us together as a family through his Holy Spirit. And because of that, no matter who comes and goes through this building, whether they are here for one Sunday or for a lifetime, the purpose of this church will always be to worship and honor and glorify and serve the Lord our God. And so when this day is over, though there are many things that will be different, these important things will not have changed in the slightest. And it's because of this unchanging, uninterrupted importance of worship that the word steadfast was on my mind as I wrote this sermon. For being steadfast goes in two directions, at least it ought to. We should be steadfast in loving and serving and worshiping God, because God is steadfast in loving and serving and caring for us. When God walked in the Garden of Eden at the time of the evening breeze and found Adam and Eve hiding themselves in shame, his grief was palpable, but his love for them was proven by the garments he made for them. In spite of their sin, and even though they were exiled from the garden, God's act of making them clothes to wear is a remarkable affirmation of his steadfast love. When God looked upon the earth and was devastated by the wickedness he saw, he nevertheless desired to preserve his good creation, especially the beloved humans that he had made in his image and according to his likeness. And so he called upon Noah and his family to build and board the ark along with every kind of animal. And through the 40 days and nights that rain fell, and through the months and months that it took for the waters to recede, God remained steadfastly with Noah and with his family. When God called out to a man from Ur by the name of Abram and promised him a great family and land to call his own, he was faithful to those promises, even through every up and down in Abraham's life. When famine drove him and his wife to Egypt, God's care was with them then. When doubts and questions filled Abraham's mind, God entered into a covenant to reassure him. And when the promise of a family as numerous as the stars seemed an impossibility in their old age, God's love was made known to them through their son, Isaac. God was steadfast in their lives. When Joseph, Abraham's great-grandson, found himself thrown into a pit and sold as a slave in Egypt, God never left him. Joseph was gifted to interpret dreams, and when he foresaw the 7 years of impending famine and made sure that Egypt was prepared, he found great favor with the Pharaoh. But God also ensured that his great favor wasn't for him alone. Rather, it was for his whole family, even for the brothers who sold him. By God's steadfast love, the whole family was preserved and reconciled. The promises to Abraham were continuing to be fulfilled. When that growing family became too numerous for the Egyptians' comfort and were forced into slavery, God did not leave them in their suffering. Instead, he called a man out from among them, Moses. And in spite of his trepidation, God worked through him and through his brother and sister to lead his people to freedom. With Pharaoh's army breathing down their necks and with people cursing their decision to leave, God parted the waters of the Red Sea so that his people might cross through on dry ground. When water was scarce and the people were thirsty, it was God who made the water come from the rock. When they were hungry and tired and angry, God sent them quail in the evenings and rained down manna for them in the morning. And even when the people turned idolatrous and worshiped their golden calf, God did not cease to care for his people. For God was steadfast in loving them and in leading them to the promised land. When those people crossed over the Jordan River and began the process of taking that land, God saw to it that the Israelite spies in Jericho were protected. He worked through Rahab the prostitute to ensure that they escaped safely. And then when Joshua and his men marched around the walls of that city, they came down, and God's people began to make inroads into the land that had been given to them. When, at long last, God's people began to live and thrive in that land, God was faithful in protecting them from their enemies. When the Philistines came against them with a warrior named Goliath, God worked through a shepherd boy named David to give the Israelites the victory. And as that boy grew into a man, God remained present with him, even through his sin, so that he could be a great king for God's people. When those people grew comfortable in the land and began to neglect and turn away from the God who had been so faithful to them, God nevertheless remained steadfast. Even though the people suffered defeat and devastation and exile, God worked through prophets to maintain a connection to his wayward people. Faithful men like Isaiah and Ezekiel promised God's people that they would one day be guided back to the promised land and that their dry, weary bones would be made to live again. And when that eventually happened, God called upon leaders like Ezra and Nehemiah to lead the people to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and her temple, and to call them back to recommitted lives of faithfulness. When God took on our flesh and became incarnate like we are, it was the ultimate act of solidarity. He became like us so that we might be like him. And as Jesus walked the earth, calling upon disciples and proclaiming the good news of God's gracious mercy, he was no less steadfast in his love for humanity. When he encountered sinners, he offered compassion instead of condemnation. He forgave them and sent them forward to do better. When his own disciples failed to understand who he was and what he was doing, he did not cast them aside. Instead, he drew them closer. When they came up short, Jesus remained steadfast. Even after those disciples abandoned him and denied him at his crucifixion, Jesus nevertheless chose them to be the ones who would witness the glory of his resurrection and who would continue to do his work in the world. When Jesus climbed that hill in Bethany 40 days after his resurrection and began to be lifted up into heaven, his disciples were left with the promise of God's Holy Spirit. And on Pentecost, when the wind blew and the tongues of fire fell, God was proven steadfast in fulfilling that promise. All along the way, God has been steadfast in the lives of his people, even when his people failed to be steadfast in their faithfulness. God remained present with them, and God continued to call them back to himself. Through leaders and prophets and incarnation and the Holy Spirit, and through the ongoing commitment of faithful disciples like you and me, our God has never ceased in his pursuit of us, so that we might know him more completely and so that we might live more fully. Remember what the Lord said to Joshua in the aftermath of Moses' death. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And remember what Jesus said to his disciples as they prepared to live without him. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. These words hold true for us as well. And it's good news for you, and it's good news for me. For no matter who stands behind this pulpit in the months and years ahead, you can be certain of the fact that God has not gone anywhere. Likewise, whatever pulpit I may find myself behind, I can be certain of the fact that God will have been there long before I arrived. So whatever lies ahead for each of us, let us step confidently into that future, knowing that no matter how woefully we may stumble or how wonderfully we may succeed, God's steadfast and sure love will remain right there alongside of us. And in trusting that God's steadfast and sure love is with us, may we be freed for lives of increased faithfulness and steadfast discipleship as we seek to join God in his ongoing work of building God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Will you pray with me? God of all grace and mercy, who created us in your image and according to your likeness, we give you thanks for the witness of Holy Scripture. For in these inspired words, we find example after example of your steadfast love and care in the lives of your people. So as your people today, we pray that you would continue to remind us that you are present with us as well. And as we rest comfortably in that truth, may you spur us forward to live as the people you have called and enabled us to be, to the glory of Jesus Christ the Lord, and to the benefit of your growing kingdom, we pray. Amen. I invite you now to stand and sing our hymn of invitation, number 71, Be Thou My Vision. And as we sing, I invite you to respond in whichever way the Spirit may be leading and guiding you this morning. Let us stand and sing together. Thank you. Before I give our benediction, let us bless the food that we are about to eat. Let us pray. God, I am grateful for the chance that we have to sit around the table, to eat, to share, to laugh, and to cry. I pray that you would bless this food to our bodies, that we may be more fit for your service. Bless the conversation to our souls, so that we may feel full long after the food is gone. And Lord, may you bless the hands of those who have prepared it, so that they may continue to do your good work. In your holy name we pray, amen. Let us receive this benediction. Go from here to love the Lord our God and to serve one another. Let us go in peace.